take away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Oh, the morning sun in all its glory greets the day with hope and comfort too. You fill my life with laughter and somehow make it better. You ease my troubles, that's what you do. There's a love that's divine, and it's yours and it's mine, like the sun. And at the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to the one, to the one. I told you lately that I love you. Have I told you there's no one else above you? You fill my heart with gladness, take away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. You fill my life with laughter and always make it better. You ease my troubles, that's what you do.
We have the greatest. Best music team in town, huh? Yeah, praise God. Okay, so thank you all for joining us this morning, and also those of you that are live streaming. We appreciate all of you, every single one of you. We couldn't do any of this without you. I'd like to call your attention to this, to the insert in your bulletin. Big news, next Sunday, two services, Sunday service times, summer Sunday service times, I might add. 9:45 and 11:30, so starts this coming Sunday, praise God. Well, that was a little mixed emotion, okay. Today at 1:30, Dr. Paul Sheely will be facilitating a workshop, Living into the Future That's Emerging with Grace and Ease. Discover how to put fear behind you and live in the full expression of your life. Come and join us, please. And we really want to call your attention to the fact that the strategic planning interviews have been extended, which is really a wonderful opportunity. You'll have additional time to get an interview in because we really want everybody's input into Unity Minneapolis's future because it's our home. More info and signups are in the garden court, so check them out. Our flower and garden team is starting their Planting Unity Together this coming Saturday, May 27th, and Sunday the 28th. So let's join them and bring any perennials or small shrubs extra from your garden and drop them off in the upper patio this week. Plants not used in our gardens are going to be sold after each service on Sunday next week. And then our youth and family department is seeking some kid-friendly adults. I mean, there's got to be a lot of you around, to choose three or more Sundays from June 5th to September 3rd. You will assist an experienced leader in a youth classroom. So sign up in the garden court. Nancy Maiello will give you a call and see how it can fit in for you. So, and don't forget, the outreach opportunities in June are amazing. Golden Valley, Juneteenth, and Twin Cities Pride Festivals, all excellent opportunities to be engaged in our outreach programs, so thank you. Many other volunteer opportunities, including a camera operator for Sunday services, parking angels, and don't forget, if you're a credentialed healer and you want to join our healing ministry, come this Wednesday, the 24th at 6:30, and we have an orientation planned for that day, so thank you. If you have a cell phone or electronic device, Before you silence them, check in on Facebook and let people know where you're at, and let them know, too, that they, too, are welcome here. So thank you. So let's begin our service with prayer. Oh, let's just take in a breath. Oh, sweet Spirit. We thank you, Spirit, for every good thing. We thank you for the sun. We thank you for every gift we are blessed with, and some that don't appear to be blessings, which we know everything has to be a blessing. And for this, we say, thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. So, thank you, and let's applaud this glorious, almost sunny day. Yeah. We begin our service by affirming together our core values, vision, and mission statements found in your bulletin. So let's start with our core values. Together, we are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. And our vision, centered in spirit, we celebrate a world transformed by love, peace, and compassion. In our mission statement, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. And I invite our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early today to hold sacred space for us, and they're here to support you in prayer. For any joys, concerns, celebrations, they will listen with the ears of their heart and hold it in the strictest of confidence. So please seek one of them out. I assure you it'll be a blessing for you as well as for them. Thank you. So let's stand for our opening song. Yes, I am. The words are in your bulletin.
Yes. is so good to see you here this morning. Thanks for being with us, and we also thank those that are streaming with us today as well. As you know, Unity is an open and welcoming, inclusive community. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do here each and every Sunday morning is to acknowledge our guest. So today, if you're with us for the first, second, or third time, please allow us to honor your presence here today. We're going to do nothing drastic. Just take your courage in your hand, calling all courage out there. Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. First, second, or third time guest. Wow, courage out here. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up until our ushers get to you. That packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's a welcoming card in there. If you choose to fill out any part of that pink card and turn that into our book desk, we have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you a very personal welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Let's appreciate these marvelous guests, okay? We also enjoy greeting each other. We do it each and every Sunday morning. We either do it with a handshake, a hug, a smile, namaste. We ask before we hug. Let's greet each other this morning, okay? Let's remain seated as we sing our next song, Amazing Things, Amazing Things.
You will do. now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of Surely the Presence. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you're invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is divine order. I appreciate the divine order and clarity expressing in every part of my life. There's a satisfaction in feeling that my own ego mind is in control of the events in my life, today and for days to come. However, there's a deeper, richer satisfaction that I experience when I surrender to the loving power that causes everything in the universe to flow and express in order and harmony. In that surrender, I release my own limited efforts to organize my life. There's one power, and I'm part of it. I am an essential part of a purpose more vast than my mind can imagine. I know that my day unfolds as an expression of that purpose. I give thanks for divine order in my life. I joyously embrace and rely upon the clarity that expresses in every part of my life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, Revelations 1:8. The word for today is divine order.
As we relax in the quiet, that peacefulness that is always present, that we may access at any time. So let us breathe in that amazing peacefulness into our every cell. When we are motivated by that one thought, hope, or dream, we know we have all that there is to accomplish that which we are asking. Spirit within us is never separate from us. When we decide or pray on some thought. Spirit will help us because we have all the strength, wisdom, and guidance to do that which we are called to do. We are never alone. Never. If we have that special dream or hope, all we need do is say yes. For we already have or have access to that which is really already ours. Just say yes. And now let us rest. Let us rest in our abundance and in the quiet. And now, as we return to this space in time, we can gently and easily open our eyes when we are ready and thank Spirit within for all the gifts, wisdom, strength, guidance, everything we have need of. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. Thank you.
each other, nothing more. We are how we treat each other.
Thank you. We have a great music team, and Laurie is off today. Laurie Dockin and Jennifer Parker, it's great to have you with us again. Thank you for being here. A taxi passenger tapped the driver on the shoulder to ask him a question. The driver screamed, lost control of the car, nearly hit the bus, went up on the sidewalk, and stopped just a few inches from a shop window. For a second, everything went quiet in the cab. Then the driver said, "Look, mate, don't ever do that to me again. You scared the daylights out of me." The passenger apologized and said, "I didn't realize a little tap would scare you so much." The driver replied, "Sorry, it's not really your fault. Today is my first day as a cab driver. I have been driving a funeral van for the past 25 years. That has nothing to do with the lesson, okay? Nothing. This is the deal, though. This next week, I'm speaking with a group of funeral directors, and I don't think I'm going to use that. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it would go over well at all. Well, we're just glad you're with us today, and we resume our series on what do I really need? What do I really need? And when we started this series, if you'll look on the front of your bulletin, I reminded you that a survey was done by the Gallup poll and said that some things that Americans really needed, and it really tied in to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we started that first Sunday by saying, what do I really need? An American says what they really need is safety in their life. Safety. And as we look around the world and see what's happening, all we do is turn on the news. And we can understand that at times we want to feel safe and secure. And yet, as we looked at that lesson, we decided that the world changes constantly, but there's something within us that we call that divine presence within that never changes. And that this presence within is the security that we want in our life. And then that second week, we said, what do we really want? And that was appreciation. Many of us wants to be affirmed and appreciated in our life. Are you that way? Yes. Some of you are. You're that way. And so, but we love it. We love it. You know, we want to be appreciated. And it ties back into spiritual law. Those things that we appreciate in our life, appreciates. Those things that we appreciate and bless in our life, they increase in our life. So I know that many of you shared with me that you walked out of that lesson with the understanding, I'm going to go home and appreciate my spouse more. I know I did. Wow, I want to appreciate my spouse more and other things in my life as well. And then that third week, we took kind of a break. We had Reverend Alan Davenport here. And she came and she talked about hell in the hallway. And I think everybody in this congregation must have been in the hallway. But hell in the hallway and light at the door. And that's a good thing. It's a really good thing, because if we're going to go through that hell, we've got to be aware that there is light at the door. And we had a marvelous weekend with Ellen Davenport. And then last week, Mother's Day, we looked at what Americans want too. They want understanding. They want to be understood. They want to be listened to. And we tied that into our Mother's Day service, where an understanding heart is what we wanted from our parents, especially our mother. And we went through that process last week of blessing each and every person present, not only blessing you individually, but also blessing your mothers as well. So what do I really need in my life? And today we are going to talk about purpose. I think that we have to be to a certain point in our own spiritual evolution before we get to that point of saying, what do I really need in my life? And that need is purpose in our life. You know, when I was preparing this lesson, I thought about the song, What's It All About, Alfie? Well, we won't try that again, but you know, needless to say, what's it all about? And I thought of Dionne Warwick, and oh my gosh, was she not fabulous with that song? Oh my goodness, I'm dating myself. So you know how I'm dating myself, but wow, she really, so how many times have we really kind of said to ourselves, there's got to be more than life than this. There's got to be more than, maybe even more than what I'm doing right now. I remember one of my professors, he said, there's got to be more than life than eating and sleeping and pooping. Do you know? And you know, he's right on target with that. We constantly ask ourselves, what is it that we really want to do? And I think that so often what we do is we reach out and we look for purpose. We look for purpose in various things in our life. And I think that when we're not on purpose, when we're not in our purpose, then it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to look for addictions and sex and drugs and rock and roll and all of these crazy things. But really what we want more than anything is to be on purpose and to be in purpose with what God has intended for us to do. Jim Rosemergy, in his wonderful book, The Quest for Meaning, Jim says that we all have the same purpose. And he says basically we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. We're all spiritual beings, and we're having this human experience. And how often can we forget that? How often we think that we're human beings and occasionally having a spiritual experience? It's so easy to forget that. But he says we are spiritual beings, and therefore, because we're all spiritual beings, we all have the same spiritual purpose. And that same spiritual purpose is for us, my dear friends, to know the divine, to know God, to have a relationship with the divine. And he says that once we have this relationship with the divine, then what happens is suddenly we realize that there is a purpose for us individually. He calls that a call within a call. There is a purpose for you and a purpose for me. And then once we discover that purpose, then we discover that we have the talents, the gifts that we need. And then once we discover that, we also then discover the work that we are called to do in our life to fulfill that purpose. Wow. We all have the same purpose in our life. I found a quote in preparation for this lesson. And the quote is from George Washington Carver. What a powerful man. Born into slavery in the mid-1800s, into slavery, applied for numerous, someone took care of him, one of the masters took care of him, had a liking to him. They taught him a lot about plants. He applied for various colleges, and every college that he applied to, he was accepted. But once he showed up and they discovered that he was a black man, he was rejected. But that did not keep him from his purpose. He went on, my dear friends. He went on to literally save the cotton industry in the South. What he was born into, slavery, cotton, he went on to save. He went on to save by experimenting with peanuts and crop rotation, and he taught the farmers to rotate their crops. And as a result of that, cotton continued to grow in the South and boom in the South. And of course, he found that right and perfect college to accept him, Tuskegee Institute, Alabama, of all places. And he, my dear friends, had a purpose in his life, a purpose. And he was destined for that purpose. He says, no individual has any right to come into the world and go out of it without leaving behind him or her a distinct and legitimate reasons for having passed through it. Whoa! We are here to do much more than eat and poop and take up space. We are here to do amazing things. We are here to do it because that presence of the divine is within us. We don't have to go far in the Bible to see that there are many characters throughout the Bible that accomplished much in their life because they had a purpose. Noah had a purpose to build an ark. Of course, he was laughed at and shamed and everything else, but he built that ark. Abram had a purpose to step out in faith to a new land, but he did. Moses, oh my goodness, the central theme of the Old Testament, Moses had a purpose. And that purpose was to leave a comfortable palace, to that burning bush experience, and to lead people, the Hebrew people, into the promised land. And oh my goodness, did he try not to do it. How many times did he have to say to Spirit, I am not worthy, I cannot speak, I cannot do this. But he had a purpose, and he was called. Our teacher, our master teacher, had a purpose. That purpose, my dear friend, he had that purpose, I believe, with all sincerity so that he could, and because of that purpose, he was able to endure the pain and the agony of the cross. Thank God for the resurrection. But at the same time, he had a purpose, and that purpose was to teach and to preach that universal love and that the kingdom of God was within, and he was willing to do whatever he needed to do in order to fulfill that purpose. Deepak Chopra, who has written a wonderful little book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And these are spiritual laws that apply to everyone. I highly recommend the book. The last spiritual law that he talks about is the law of dharma. Dharma is the Sanskrit word for purpose. That there's a law to purpose. We're supposed to have a purpose in our life, individually. Not just collectively knowing and understanding God's will. And Deepak Chopra, I love what he had to say to the children, his own children. I cannot imagine my parents saying this to me. He says, I told them, his children, I told them there was a reason why they were here. And they had to find out what that reason was for themselves. From the age of 4 years, they heard this. I also taught them to meditate when they were about the same age. And I told them, I never, ever want you to worry about making a living. Oh, see, that's the part I don't quite, I don't think my parents would have ever said that to me. If you're unable to make a living when you grow up, I'll provide it for you. So don't worry about that. I don't want you to focus on all, I don't want you to focus on doing well in school. I don't want you to focus on getting the best grades. I don't want you to focus on going to the best colleges. What I really want you to focus on is asking yourself, how can you serve humanity? And asking yourself what your unique talents are. You see, we have these unique talents. And when we know these talents and we're on purpose, we match up with the needs of the universe. And when we focus on those things, focus on what we can give, not what we can get, but what we can give, my friends, then we are demonstrated and living the law of dharma, or the law of purpose in our lives. Of course, there's value in knowing our purpose. It feels good. It feels like you're doing the right thing each and every day you get up. I feel that for me, I am on purpose in my life. I love being on purpose. My purpose is to teach and preach universal truth principles so that I may grow. Teach and preach universal truth principles so that I may grow and therefore assist you in growing as well. Your purpose is to serve humankind. So you may say, well, you just don't know, Reverend Pat. You know what? Brother Lawrence, a medieval monk, what did he do? He washed dishes in the kitchen. And each and every person that came to that monastery, do you think that they hung out with the abbots, whatever titles they are? Do you think they hung out there? No, they went to the kitchen. They went to the kitchen because they knew that right there they would experience the presence of God. Whatever work you do, you are able to exude and be that light of that presence of God. And no one else can do it the way that you do it. No one. So you say, well, I'm not sure that I'm on purpose. Maybe I'm on purpose, Reverend Pat. Mary Morrissey, in her wonderful book, has given a few questions, questions to answer if you are on purpose in your life. This book I also highly recommend, Building Your Field of Dreams. She says, test your dream or purpose with five essential questions. First, does this dream enliven me? Does the thought of your purpose quicken your pulse? Wow, think about that for a moment. When you think of your purpose, are you excited? Thank God some of you are, okay? Are you excited about your purpose? Yes. Yes. Does it quicken your pulse? Are you excited to get up and begin it in the morning? Are you excited to do that? And your purpose is not necessarily your work. Now, the good news is this. When you match it up with your work, it's like heaven on earth. But if your purpose is not your work, then you are going to need to find a way to fulfill that purpose. Does your dream align with your core values? You know your values that were instilled within you. I don't think most of you in here are going to be bank robbers. I don't see that as your purpose because it's not going to align with your core values. Number three, do I need help from a higher source to make this dream come true? Yes, you do. Absolutely. I don't know who yelled out yes, but if you don't need help from a higher power, that power of God within you, then your purpose is not big enough. Your purpose is not big enough. If you think you know every little tiny whiny step to do, you don't. And then, will this dream require me to grow into more of my true self? True self. Will it require me to grow? I can assure you, when you discover your purpose, and when you see that this full purpose is fulfilled, you will not be the same person here that you were over here. You will not. You will be required to grow in consciousness. You will have to grow. You will have to grow in order to fulfill the purpose, because the purpose is bigger than you are right now. You got it? And you don't even have to have a clue on how it's going to be fulfilled. Spirit of God within you will reveal to you every step of the way on what there is to do. You're required to take that first step. You're required to take that first step. Pay attention. Expect the best and step out. Will this dream ultimately bless others? It will. If it blesses you, it will bless others. Your purpose, if it blesses you, it will bless others. Jesus says it in a beautiful way. If I be lifted up, then I lift all others with me. So your purpose is not just about you. There's no need to be selfish about that. Your purpose will affect everyone. It affects this entire planet. So when you are on purpose, this planet is lifted up. Wow, I'm excited about that. Can you tell? Yes, but I think the whole world, it would not be, you know, what can I do? What are you excited about doing? What do you want to do? What do you do when time stands still for you? And when time stands still for you, that is a hint that that just may be your purpose in life. Recently, a survey was done for folks that were 100 years of age and older. And, you know, more and more people are living to be over 100. Don't you expect to? Yes. Yes, I love it. You expect to live to be over 100. And I think more and more people are living that to be over 100. And so a survey was done and said, you know, if you had to do it over again, what would you do differently? And the first thing they said is we would reflect more. Wow. We would reflect more. It's not so much about doing. It's about being first. About being and knowing that presence with the divine. Reflect more. And then the second thing that they said that they would do, and it just totally went out of my mind, they said, we would take more risk. Take more risk. Purpose requires risk. Purpose requires risk. We take more risk. The third thing they said that they would do is they would do something in order to leave a legacy, in order to know that they have been here, that they have been in this expression of life, as Mr. Carver said so beautifully here. No individual has any right to come into the world and go out of it without leaving behind him or her a distinct and legitimate reasons for having passed through it. They would leave a legacy. Powerful. Unity Minneapolis right now, we know our vision. It's one of the largest visions that I've ever worked with in my life. And that is to truly transform the world. We do it one life at a time, one person at a time. Right now, our leadership here is looking at ways that we can continue to transform the world. Part of our strategic plan right now asks the question, it's 5 years into the future, what do you see here at Unity Minneapolis? And we will take that information in order to put together a strategic plan in order to fulfill our purpose of transforming the world. Your input is requested. If you consider this your spiritual home, if you consider this in any way your spiritual home, we invite you to take a survey and fill it out. Or we invite you to sign up for a one-on-one interview that someone will have the time to spend at least 45 minutes with you hearing what's important to you in this community. We want that information. So your assignment this week is to reflect. Ask yourself, am I on purpose? And then ask yourself the question, if not, why not? And if you go to me and you say, I am retired, I don't need to do this, baloney. I have said more than once, and I believe it with all my heart, that as long as we have a breath to breathe in this expression of life, there's something for us to do. One quick thing. I cannot leave without sharing this quote. One of my favorite meditation books is Beyond Appearances, Moving from Fear to Faith. It's a New Thought book, and it's actually a collection of religious science ministers has put together articles, and it's a wonderful book. And this particular one says, let us recognize ourselves as unfolding beings, and therefore be willing to create for ourselves greater goals and achievements than we thought possible. Let us see ourselves as possibilities rather than products. Powerful. We are not products. We are possibilities. Let us grow. Let us not grow too comfortable in any stage of completion. Fine. Finish school. Celebrate it. There's something else to do. Fine. Retire. Celebrate it for a week. There's something else to do. Not necessarily another job, but something else to do. You have a unique purpose, and only you can fulfill that purpose. Let us begin to experience more of what it is to simply be. Your presence is the most important purpose that you present to the world. I love you. I bless you. I behold the living presence of the divine within you. And thank you, God, for your unique purpose. And so it is. Amen.
Isn't it time to stop somehow? Air that's too angry to breathe. Water our children can't drink. You've heard it hundreds of times. You say you're aware, believe, and you care. But do you care enough? Where's your conviction now? The heart.
Ushers to come forth as we prepare to receive our tithes and our gifts and our offerings. And I just want to take a moment this morning, if you'll just turn around to ushers and face our congregation. You'll notice that we have new offering plates this morning. So the thing is, why? Why? I like to start with that reason, why. I recently went to a workshop. It was for a New Thought workshop for New Thought ministers, and it was about church prosperity. And one of the things the presenter said was, I hope none of you are using those little bags that you put your hands down in. Well, I just kind of like, yeah, you know, yeah. And she says, metaphysically, it's not really a good thing to do that. She says, you're transparent with your finances. I said, yes, they're always on, I thought to myself, yes, they're always on our bulletin board for you to see. She says also that when you put your money there, it's like dropping it into a hole. She says, you want expansiveness in your offering as well as you do consciousness and your church. Therefore, she says, when you receive the offering, be sure that it is in a container that is open and also can expand. And I thought, well, it kind of makes sense to me, you know. It made a lot of sense to me. We are about consciousness and we are about the expansion of consciousness. And therefore, we need to take that into our finances and our gifts as well. You got it? I appreciate that. That means I probably won't get a single email about this. Thank you, God. So I'm going to invite you to please turn now and let's bless this. Let's take our gifts in our hands. We take a gift in our hands and we just take time to bless it. If you're giving it with someone, we invite you to give it together. Bless it together. You have the power to bless. I will affirm our church offertory blessing once and then ask you to affirm it with me and then silently. Divine love flowing through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen. Received in the mail. We bless all of these gifts. We bless those participating in our consistent giving program. We bless these gifts and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. The last 3 weeks in May, we have in your bulletin our consistent giving card. Many of you are consistent givers. And so we invite you these last 3 weeks in May to, if you're not a consistent giver, to seriously, prayerfully consider becoming a consistent giver. If you are a consistent giver, it may be the perfect time for you to reevaluate your giving. Jim Knapp, our board president, he is our board secretary, our board treasurer. I got that. He's our board treasurer. And he is a consistent giver, and he's going to share why.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tomorrow's Monday, and many of us are going to be on purpose giving back to humanity or going to work. And I'll be going back to work. And as some people will return to this facility tomorrow, as employees of Unity, they're going to be expected to be paid. We're going to receive vendor bills throughout the month and utility bills, et cetera, and those vendors will be expected to be paid. And as much as I moved spiritually my spiritual home, and I seek my own peace and harmony within myself and the greater universe, I know the rest of the world moves on time and money. Thus, this church needs to also function in the bigger world. Therefore, my consistent giving to Unity greatly helps the leadership of this church budget for all that we do here. The church consistently knows what to expect with consistent givers like me. And being your treasurer, not the president, not the secretary.
Not the secretary.
Just the treasurer. I can't impress upon you enough how important it is to have that consistent giving and what that means to our budget. So for those that are doing that, really sincerely, I appreciate that. For those of you that are not doing that, I would strongly suggest you consider this purple packet that's in your Unity bulletin. And if so inspired, please send that back to Unity filled out. And if this 90-second inspirational moment hasn't really touched you, then another board person. I don't know if he's a president.
Vice president.
He's a vice president. Okay. He will be at the Garden Court to answer any of your questions that I that you may have about this process. And one other thing, just on a personal note, it's really, for me, I like budgets personally, and I'm obviously the treasurer here, but it's also personally nice to be in the pews and not feel any kind of guilt when the new plates go zooming by.
New plate.
And also when I'm not here, I also know my money is at work here as well, too. So thank you, and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. So Greg Peterson, our vice president, will be there to answer anything you have about consistent giving and also about strategic planning. He'll be happy to answer that as well. Many of you are familiar with the Labyrinth. I really enjoy the Labyrinth. It's a prayer tool that's used, that when you walk the Labyrinth, you're just kind of in silence, and it's a beautiful thing to focus, help us focus our lives. It obviously, often when I walk a Labyrinth, I'll ask a question, and before I walk that Labyrinth. But if you notice, when there's more than one person on the Labyrinth, sometimes several people, many times you'll be walking side by side. And then you get to the point where you go in different directions. You're still on the Labyrinth, or in the Labyrinth. You're still in this one life, but you're just moving in different directions. This past week, we had an associate minister tenure her resignation here. After 3 years and several months, Reverend Patty Williams will be accepting a position as senior minister in Salem, Oregon. So we want to acknowledge you. Come on. We have Reverend Patty Day coming up. Well, let's remember one. Yes, I don't know about cloning you or not, but we have it. We will know that Reverend Patty is going to her right and perfect place, a place where she will be a blessing to Unity of Salem, and that Unity of Salem will be a blessing to you. I know that you are ready for this job. I personally think you were ready several months ago. But we bless you as you go. We bless you as you go. And remember our lesson today. If it's good for her, which it feels real good, then it's good for all of us. It's good of all of us. If I be lifted up, I lift all others with me. So on the last Sunday of June, that's her last day, and she will be giving the lesson, and we will be celebrating her with receptions after each and every service. No, mm-mm.
I got that microphone June 25th.
Blessings, Reverend Patty. We're excited for you, and you will hold us in prayer as well.
Absolutely.
As we look for our next right and perfect associate minister. Let's appreciate her one more time, okay? This is what you do as a senior minister. You work with associates. They come in. We learn together. They bring gifts. We learn from them. They learn from us. Knowing that most ministers I know are not created to be associate ministers. They are created to be senior ministers. So she flies. Sometimes you wiggle them out of the nest, but she flew, okay? She flew. And we know that all is well. Next week, we conclude our series, What Do I Really Need? What do we really need? Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. So come and let's be a part of that next week. I hear children out there. Let's bring them in.
fourth week of their caring series. So we were talking about kindness and being good to each other and how we can ask God, we can pray to God to help others as well as a way of caring. And I got to make an invitation to you. If you want to learn more about caring, and it's our summer of kindness, sign up in the Garden Court. We'd love to have you come join us for a few Sundays this summer. And I have to tell you, last week when I went out and checked our list, we had 9 people signed up to be upstairs this summer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Give us a few more. Come join us, okay?
Yes. Thanks. Let's appreciate our adult volunteers. Let's take a deep breath together. A lot busy morning. We'll know that all is in divine order according to our daily word today. All is in divine order, even with the offering plates. Let us know together our prayer protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
You hold the key.